precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a great privilege, Lord, to gather in your precious holy name once again this morning. Lord, we just ask you to have your way in everything that's said and done this morning. Have your way in the service, Lord. May our hearts be open, Lord, for the hearing of thy word, Lord. Lord, when you speak, Lord, we want to listen, and we want to give it our all. Lord, we appreciate the desire you've given us all this morning to want to gather, to tune in, to see what you have for us. Lord, we just ask you to bless it once again. We'll give you all the glory and the honor that's due unto you. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Such an honor to serve him. Amen. Page 38, Only Believe. Draw me near. Amen. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding. Let my soul look God with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where precious desire, amen, to have page 89 in the same book. Amen. Amen. Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free. Repay for what he's done for us. Regardless what you got to go through down here, it's nothing compared to what he's done for us. By his grace and his mercy and his love, amen, we appreciate him. Page 44, same book. Amen. Remember, he's leading us along. Amen. No worries. Hallelujah. In shady green pastures, so rich and so God leads his dear children along, where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Oh, son, through the I'm Satan opposed. Amen. They'll try every day. God leads his dear children along. Through grace, we can conquer. Hallelujah. Defeat all our foes. Amen. God leads us along. Amen. By his grace. Amen. At this time, I want to take the needs of the people in the heart, wherever they may be sitting. You know, there's a lot of things in this life that can come up. Besides this virus, this is just one of many things, you know, and we always need him. Every day we need him. Can't walk without him. Can't talk without him. And we want to keep them on our hearts this morning and all here that have a need. Amen. If you want to stand with us. Amen. If Brother Settles, you take the needs, if you will.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so wonderfully thankful for your grace, your mercy, and our
yes.
lives. Lord, that we sing these songs, Father, it reminds us, Father, what you've done for us, your care, and Lord, your desire for wealth for us. We're so appreciative. Father, we can take before you the needs and requests of the saints and people, wherever they may be gathered, sitting, Lord, watching, Father, we're just so appreciative.
Yes.
Pray that you would just touch every need, every heart. For Lord, you are with every one of them. Lord, they don't have to be in certain places.
Sister Teresa, you got a special. Amen. You may be seated.
Started out in this journey. They endured as warriors for a while, but by and by their cross became just a little too heavy. They turned and laid their cross aside. Has your love for Christ grown cold? The flame died down, the ember ceased to glow, or does it burn greater, that hunger and thirst in your soul for Christ. So in love with him, you'd never lay your cross aside. This world holds nothing, God's my portion. I count it joy just to carry this cross for Christ. For one morning soon, we're gonna feel this old earth tremble. Then we'll be so glad we didn't lay aside. Has your love for Christ grown cold? The flame died down, the ember ceased to glow, or does it burn greater? That hunger and thirst in your soul for Christ. So in love with him, you'd never lay your cross aside.
Amen. Lord, help me stay in that position with you, that I'd never lay my cross aside. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Where he leads me, I will follow, as we ask our pastor to come. Where he leads me,
just bow our heads again for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again want to thank you so very much for this precious little opportunity to gather here, Lord, around your word. And Lord, how precious it is to us. It's the most powerful, greatest thing to us in our life. And Father, we see the day and hour in which we live, and all these great requirements that you gave forth. Only thing we can do, Lord, is lean upon you and put our trust in you, that, Lord Jesus, you will show us the way. And help us, Lord, as we sit here, that we'll be able to understand and to know what you're requiring. And, Father, those that's sitting there, Lord, or wherever they may be, to listen also in on the service this morning, may you bless them and open our hearts to the Word of God. And Father, don't let anything, just help them not to let anything be a distraction. But Father, keep their hearts, their minds, centered on your Word, and Lord, listening to what you want of us today. We We ask now that thy will be done as we commit ourselves unto thee for service. And we know, Lord, without you we cannot do this. It's only through your grace and mercy. So we commit ourselves unto you now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, how many's happy to be here this morning? Amen. I'm glad that we can be here, as many as there is. I just oftentimes still wish that, and maybe soon we'll be able to, wish we could all be here, you know. And there still just seems like there's nothing like sitting here and, you know, and being in the presence of the Lord, and trust the Holy Spirit will come down and bless you where you're at. But again, today we want to try to bring something to help you and strengthen you and encourage you. So we trust that you'll have your hearts open and accepted, ready to accept the Word of God and receive it. So let's turn our Bibles to a scripture we read last Sunday. I'm going to kind of pick up on some things we was on last Sunday. And for some, maybe it wasn't with us last Sunday, it might be a little different, or maybe a little hard to pick up, I should say, on, because I hate to go clear back and read all the different things, but especially if you're not, you know, a real study of the Word of God and maybe not need, or maybe not know things yet that you need to know. But we find here, let's read here first the book of Mark, the 8th chapter, and we'll just read this morning from the 35th to the 37th verse and save a little time, because I do have a lot of things I want to read. Mark, the 8th chapter, 35th verse down to 37th. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now we're going to be talking about that soul today, so pay attention. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And may the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. We realize today that many people is exchanging a lot of things for eternal life. And for even to follow the Lord and surrender their life to him. A lot of things in life are very important to many people. Many material things, and might be a job, might be a wife or husband, vice versa. Many different things that can distract them. And, you know, just take God's word as just something, you know. You hear a lot of people call it the good book. Well, it's much more than the good book. It's the precious word of God. And it's so great and so tremendous to know the will of God in this hour in which we are living in. And I trust you'll bear with me, because my voice, I still ain't got my full voice. It's a little weak yet. So, by God's grace, we'll bring something today to try to help you out. I had to be a little careful, because after last Sunday, I got up Monday morning, I pretty well didn't have a voice. It just very weak. And so, like I said, just taking time to mend and get things back together. But maybe one of these days I'll be able to scream at you again. Amen. All right. So we find here, in thinking about this scripture. Now, as I said last Sunday, and I'll try to remind you of that a little bit, you know, and it just seems like last few weeks especially, you know, and we see we're getting close to the end of time, and the Lord is going to appear soon. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know it's going to be very soon. And we realize that people are growing cold. Their lives is just, you know, they are turning more concerned to the concern of what is going on around them, and trying worried about fixing problems and taking care of this, that, and there, and they're forgetting about the soul. And as I mentioned last Sunday about the, it's, you know, and you not being in my shoes, many of you wouldn't understand. But I see, has been a minister and been ministering for almost 40 years, but I see how churches over the years, just to kind of renew your mind back to it, you'll see a minister come along, and he'll be maybe bringing the word just exactly like God wants it done and everything. And the people seems to be so receiving and so happy they're getting it and excited and a lot of amens and glory hallelujahs and all that. And then when God takes that minister off the scene, then the people go through things. Life faces them. They haven't got somebody there to direct them in the truth. And then they start receiving things that's not truth. Other men come along and bring things that's not truth and not according to Scripture, not according to God's Word. And actually, I kind of talked to Brother Pitts about a couple of these things. He'll remember some of what we was kind of talking about. But I've seen it so many times where ministers come along down through the years, and older ones especially, and they've passed on. And then the congregations turn out to be anything but really believe all the truth, you know? And then you're really finding out who truly had the Holy Ghost or not, who truly had the new birth, you know? And as I said, that's what kind of, it's just, because I know different situations of this happen, not just one, two, many of them. And I think about that being a pastor, you know? I think, is this what my congregation will turn out to be? After give my heart to it as much as I possibly know how to, and, you know, surrender to the Lord and pray and cry out to God, asking Him, what should I say? You know, I need to know, Lord, what exactly to bring your people. Maybe miss a few meals, and maybe get up early in the morning praying, maybe get up early in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, notes come to you and scriptures, and you begin to write things down. And then we'll come down to the point, if the Lord takes me, that the congregation would turn to something of some false doctrine, some kind of man's creed, a theory, an idea, you know. And I can say, now, you not being in my shoes, you maybe not would quite understand that. But you see it happen so many times, so many times. And it's a shame. It really is. And it all boils back to the soul. And we'll talk about it. The new birth. You know, the genuine new birth. Something that's real. Something that really happened. I'm not talking about somebody that just says, oh, I was born again. They got a chill down their back and they got so excited and they're so happy to finally be able to serve the Lord and to find out it was nothing but emotion. Nothing really happened, really, you know. And I was thinking about something Brother Branham said one time. He was talking about, you know, this is the springtime, and it is right now. And we see all the birds out there, you know, they're flirting with each other, and they're building nests, and they're making their nests nice and neat. And, you know, you see these birds just seem like their nest is just so beautiful, you know, and so perfectly lined and feathers, you know, make them nice and soft and different things. And they're going through all that, you know, making sure everything is just right on that end of it. But like he said, you know, if that female bird never comes to its mate, never matches up with that male, it can lay the prettiest eggs there is in that nest. And the nest can be just right. Everything just fit just right and fit the bird just right, you know, so tucked in, so nice, you know. But if it don't meet up with its mate and receive something from that male, them eggs will lay there and rot, and they won't do a bit of good. Okay, how pretty you got that nest? And as he said, I think about the churches today. You know, we can maybe have the finest of buildings, big fancy churches, and we can have maybe the best deacons, we can have the best pastors, we can have this, that, and the other, and the most people come to our church, you know, and maybe the mayor of the city comes, and we just all just so happy because we have so many people coming and all that. But, you know, if that church don't receive the new birth, meet up with the smell of Jesus Christ, that egg is going to rot and rot and rot, you know. And that's what we have so much today is people thinking they're born again. I've hammered on that so much in the last 10, 15 years. And to the point you think, probably people think you're crazy. They probably think you're senile. They probably think you've got Alzheimer's. They probably think you're nuts, you know? But you try, you're so concerned about this because you see it happening all over the world. People claiming to be Christians, believers, and they believe the Bible and all that, you know? And is excited about it. Only to find out by not having the new birth. There's no life that really comes forth. They claim they're Christians, they say they're believers, they might put a nice, beautiful, long dress on. The man might cut his hair just right and everything, and he might dress nice and not curse and cuss and all those terrible things, smoke, drink, and all those things. He may do all these things. She may do all these things. But just when it comes down to the simplicity of living by the Word, as simplest of simple scriptures, it's just not there. You can't find it. In a day and age and time we're living in now, we're really finding out where people's really, because the fruits of the Spirit is one of them is, remember, joy, peace. Is that right? So we're finding out if people really have the Spirit. Because now they're being tested, and now it's either a nervous wreck, they're scared to death, they're worried about this and this, that, and the other. That person could have sat in church for 70 years. But something will always come to pass, friend, to show whether you're really born again or not. Right. It's just the way God has it set up. You see? And it's, and we know the real evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we know, is being received the word for your day. The understanding of it, friends. And I like what he said in, and it vindicates itself. So it proves it, you see. It proves whether you do or not. But like I say, being in the position I have been in for years, I observe a lot, you know. You have to when you're a little shepherd. I'm not the shepherd, I'm just a shepherd, just a little shepherd under God. But we realize that you watch for things. You know, if I have a flock of sheep out there and they're getting not the right nutrition, you might start seeing some signs of their bodies showing that they're maybe start losing their wool. Maybe the hooves is cracking and falling apart. Maybe their skin on their lips is dry and cracking because it's not getting the right nutrients. So you kind of, if you're a good shepherd, you watch for those things, you know. And it may seem like the most littlest of details. You think, oh, it's just a sheep, you know. It's just another lamb. If that one dies, I'll just get another one. I'll just go stock sale and buy another one. That's kind of the way some preachers are. But friends, I want to make sure that the sheep God has placed under me, I make sure they get all the nutrition, everything just right. And just by God's grace, maybe if he takes me, and if time would have to go on a little more, just maybe by God's grace, that people would continue on to stay with the truth and not let any false creeds, doctrines slide in and accept something that's not Jesus Christ. Amen. Just maybe, by God's grace, you know? Because, as I said, it's a serious problem that happens throughout the land. And, yeah, we realize that we must be born again. We have to be. Now, I'm going to read some other things. And so, and it might seem to some that's been in the Word a long time, maybe some maybe elementary things. But I've got to try to make sure I go all directions, okay? So just bear with me and listen to God's Word, okay? Because with some, I may only have one chance to get them. One opportunity. And that may be it. So I want to try to make sure I can get in all I can get in. Okay? In the book of Romans, now, you know, he was talking about, you know, I just read the scripture, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And we realize that, which we'll read some scriptures on, but we realize a man must live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. But God doesn't do that and expect that without giving you the right equipment. You know, it's just like if my daddy, you know, when I was young and I was at home, and he'd tell me maybe before he left to go to work or something, I want you to mow the grass while I'm gone. I'd say, okay, I can do that. Now, How could he expect me to mow the lawn if he didn't give me the equipment to do it with? Now, our Heavenly Father is much greater than a natural father. And he makes sure that if he requires something, he's going to give us the right equipment. And he's give us equipment that don't fail. Now, back when I was young, I remember there was times. Dad might give me instructions to mow grass when I'm gone, go to work. You can get the grass mowed, and you go out there and you pull, and you pull, and you pull. And you could not get it running. Especially them old Tecumseh engines. Never did like them. But anyhow, it's the same way with God. And I'll say it again. God does not expect you to serve him. God does not expect you to give your life to him. God does not expect you to be this Christian, solid believer, standing on the Word of God, being able to have the Word revealed to you and you understand what it's saying without giving you the right equipment. Amen. And his equipment, I'll guarantee you, never fails. Right. Never fails. Man's will. But God's equipment will never fail. Okay? So keep that in mind, and I want to read this just a little something to throw in there after I just got done saying Romans 8th chapter. I'm going to just cut it off a little bit, just read a little portion because I got a long ways to go today. Lord willing. Romans 8th chapter and 10th verse. And if Christ be in you, okay, now I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing going to work as good as when Christ is in you. You can't have anything better than that. Because his track record is he's never failed. His track record is he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, he's Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. He is the King of Kings, you see. All right? So, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay? But if the spirit of him... Now think of this, very simple words, but I just want to refresh your minds to it. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, again, that's the best equipment you can ever have. Oh my. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Now, I'm sure we all understand, everybody's listening, that you're mortal, that's the body you're in, that's this thing. We can take our hand, our face, and we feel it. All right. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Okay. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. So I don't have to be one that God requires all these things and I still just live in a carnal flesh, doing carnal things, doing things contrary to his word, and living just in all the filth and contrary stuff to the word, and just not doing what God said. I don't have to do that now because his spirit dwells in us. Again, now, I don't take it sacrilegiously, but that's the best lawnmower I could ever have, you see. It'll start every time. The blade is always sharp. Oh, yeah. The wheels is always greased. Yeah. And guess what? I ain't got nothing to do with it. As Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Amen. I live, but yet it's not I, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So again, just keep in mind, as I go on into this morning, and you may hear different requirements at different times, but don't expect that God expects you to do it in your own self, because it will never happen. That's why you need something that comes from him, something he will light in your heart, bring to manifestation, and it will happen just like he wants it to happen, you see. So many people see that mistake's made, and I actually was just happened to be listening to a radio thing on the highway yesterday. It's a Christian radio station, and sometimes I like to investigate some of the things, and there was, of course, three priests on there. Boy, you got a mess right there. But they was giving her ideas, and their ideas constantly was coming against the Word of God, you know. And they was bringing these things up, you know, and they was talking about so many times their people, when they come to Christ, they put it that way. Well, then they find out when they accepted Christ as their Savior, they couldn't live it. So these priests was giving their opinions, not what the Word said, but they was giving their personal opinions of why these people couldn't do this. They'd say, why do I go to the confession booth, confess my sins, and I go out and do it again? One priest said, you just got to try harder. Nonsense. That's so foolish. So silly. So childish. You see? It's because they don't understand the Word. You see? Now, the thing is, they could probably quote every scripture. They might be able to quote every scripture that's in that Bible, right in line and everything else, you know. But that don't mean they have the revelation of it. You see? And no man can get the revelation of it unless God reveals it to him. You see? No woman either. All right? Like I say now, it might sound like to some of the things I'm going to be saying is a little rough. You know, a little, maybe we can say it this way, a little hard to swallow, you know? But I'll say this before I go on. If there is a predestinated gene of God laying in you, by His grace, you're going to swallow it. Yeah. As long as it lines up with His Word, you see? All right? So let's go on. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. If you through what? If you through the Spirit mortify, kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. So you're still seeing it's not what you're going to do. It's not you going to overcome all these things in the world and worldly things and fleshly things, carnality and all these things of sin and things against God's Word. It's not you that's going to do it. But it's what He places inside of you. Okay? Now that's what so many times people lack, even today. Even with a lot of knowledge of the Word of God. They have maybe one time or another gotten a nice, cozy, fuzzy feeling because maybe somebody preached something and my just made them feel so good. Oh, they just felt so good hearing it. It tickled their ears, you know. It sounds so good that, well, surely I can accept this, you know. Only to find to walk out the door and I still can't live nothing. You see? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I trust before you get done today, it might answer somebody's question you might have in your mind. It may not even be somebody here. You may have a question in your mind, and you've seen some things in the past, and you see people that's really, you know, they've been this Christian all their life. You know, a man's always been done, tried to do really nice, you know, and the woman, maybe she's done really tried to do nice clothes to wear, modest clothes to wear and all that. And the man's still got a temper like a buzzsaw. Yeah. Had it all his life and still got it. Might find a woman that she just cannot quit complaining. Because that's against Scripture. To be murmuring and complaining. The temper is against Scripture. And you might see this nice looking family and they look so nice and everything looks like, oh, this has got to be a Christian. But then, even maybe being a sinner, you look back and they see these things and they can't figure it out. They can't understand, why is this? This person's been a Christian all their life. They've been a so-called believer all their life. And they can't quit those things. They can't overcome it. It just seemed like that's how I get done seeing. And then maybe that certain thing will cool off a little bit, and then something else comes up, and they're doing something else wrong. And then they can't overcome that. And now there's a lot of people ain't going to church, you know, and they got a lot of time on their hands, and they ain't got enough desire in them to dedicate their life and to study the Word of God and pray and wait on God and do those things, even though they ain't having services. Now they're really getting cold. And now they're really getting drug over the coals, and now Satan's really got an opportunity to come in and just make their life a mess. But to themselves, they're still believers. They're still Christians. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've been born again. But the sinner steps back and looks at that and sees this and think, wow, what's going on here? I don't understand this. Well, maybe by the time I get done today and this evening, Lord willing, if my throat will hold up and I can take it this evening, and if you have the desire to be with us, then maybe you'll understand this. Okay? Again, and let me say this. Maybe those that's maybe never heard me before or maybe don't know anything about me. I'm not the fuzziest preacher there is. No. But I'm going to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Yeah. And it may hurt, it may cut. But you know, I think many times about that little cross right there. I'll hold it up so you can see it. That little cross is made out of steel. The blacksmith that came here and made this for us. He just took squares, rectangle steel rod and a plate of steel. But how did he get that to that point? He had to get it red hot and beat it to the place to where it made something useful. And God's word oftentimes beats us, scourges us, chastens us, rebukes us to make us what we need to be. You see? You take a son, the scripture speaks of a child, and if it's not chastened and rebuked, it's a bastard. It has no father. The Heavenly Father isn't theirs, you see? But if we are sons and daughters of God, we will be chastened. And if we can't be chastened and can't accept chastisement, then we're not his to begin with. You see? So we must be able to take the heat of the word. We must be able to. And I've had to take it many times in my life, friends. Yeah. But it was always a good feeling. You know, when you knowed you wasn't right and things didn't go the way God wanted it to be, and you wasn't realizing what was going on, and then that word would come down and chasten you and clean you. Oh, what a good feeling to get cleaned up.
Amen.
It just made you feel so free. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that for me. I appreciate it with all my heart. Well, somebody that wasn't predestinated would look at that and say, well, you're crazy. I've had them tell me that before. I ain't having no man scream at me like that. I ain't having no man tell me what I can do, what I can't do. I've heard that so many times. Yeah. They don't realize if the man is bringing the word, it's not the man doing it. It's giving them the word, and the word is chastening them.
Right,
you see, and bringing them to submission to the word of God. But all they can see, some of them, is, oh, that man's telling me this. Now, I ain't listening to him no more. Well, if that man's bringing only the true, pure, unadulterated word of God, you're saying, I don't want to listen to God no more. Oh, yeah. You see? So listen carefully. Remember, what are you going to give in exchange for your soul? Are you going to give something in this life, material things? Are you going to give something, maybe family, homes, jobs, whatever it may be, in exchange for your soul? Remember, this thing is temporal, this flesh. Okay? So it's fine. I want to read James here. And I want to read in the first chapter and begin 21st verse. Now, this may seem like it's a little out of arrangement for a second, but I'll run some things by you before I go on. James, first chapter, and begin 21st verse. And my question is, before I read this, are you really going to do what the Word's going to tell you today? Are you really? Time will tell. Okay. James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. I had to look up some of these words because I want to make sure I got them right and everything, and place them right and everything. Superfluity in the original Greek says, and it says, any evil or wickedness that would remain in your life that you did prior to your confession or conversion. So things you would do wrong, maybe some dirty, filthy little things and some things contrary to the Word of God. And then you receive the conversion, born again. And then maybe something remained of what you used to do. James is bringing that to our attention. Are you going to listen? Okay. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. Of course, we know that is with gentleness. Receive the word of God with gentleness and not as a know-it-all. You know, I've tried over the years, sometimes people won't get it to some people, you know, and they may start the conversation, they'll ask you about the Lord or ask you about this, and then you start giving them scripture. And, well, I know that, and I know this. I know all about that, and yet their life definitely proves they don't know about it, you see. But they're a know-it-all. But are we with meekness going to receive? Okay? And humility. Okay? And receive with meekness the engrafted word. The implanted word that comes to you through God's ministry. Yes. Receiving the knowledge of it. Okay? Which is able to save your souls. Now maybe many people yet today may be concerned for their soul. They don't think there's a real hell. They don't think there's no torment. Oh, that's just in a book, you know. It's real. Everything's just as real as God said it is, you see. But be ye doers of the word. Are you listening? I asked you before I started reading this, are you going to do what he says to do? I say he, the word. Are you going to do it? But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. I see you could come in here today, or maybe you're sitting out there listening, and you could hear what the word is saying, and you've got that choice. Are you going to do it? Or are you just going to be a hearer only? Is it going to tickle your ears? Is it going to be something that, oh, that was nice. That was good. But what are you going to do with it? You know? And I can assure you, the people that's all listening today, and listen to this word I'll be reading to you, somewhere in that group, there's changes that need to be made. Yeah. There's people in that little group I'm speaking to today that need a new birth. Don't be foolish and say, oh, I'm born again, when your life proves it isn't. Okay? You may be sitting there and you're looking at it and you may be seeing my face and expressions. You're seeing how I'm acting. And you might be sitting there looking at me and say, well, he's a smart aleck. No, I'm not a smart aleck, friends. I'm concerned for your soul. And sometimes you've got to crack that crazy head of yours to get the word into it and your heart open that God can maybe do something. Amen. Yeah. You see, God knows your thoughts as you sit there right now. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows your desires. That's right. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because that's what you do when you just listen to it and nothing is done. You deceive yourself. See? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. Okay, so I put this mirror up here and I look at myself in the mirror. Okay? And then he says, for he beholdeth himself. So I'm looking at myself in the mirror. You look at yourself in the mirror. Okay? And he says, and he goeth his way. He walks away from the mirror. Goes on, maybe goes to work. And he maybe does this. He goes to the grocery store, buy groceries and so forth. Maybe a week goes by. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Wow. Now we look at that and we think, that's pretty silly. You mean you can't remember what you looked like a week ago in that mirror? It's just about how silly it seems when somebody can hear the Word of God, the almighty, powerful Word of God. The Scripture says it's inspired. And look right in it and listen to it and walk away and not do it. It seems so unbelievable. Unbelievable. How could you look at yourself in the mirror and walk away from it and forget who you was? How could you hear the word today that I'm going to read to you and forget all about it? My prayer is that everyone listening to me will never forget it. And if you don't surrender to Jesus Christ, you'll try to go to bed at night and this will torment you to your knees till you begin to pray. Yeah. It'll drive you to where you know you need Jesus Christ in your life. Yeah. He being not a forgetful, let's back up, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Oh my, this word is truly perfect, friends. It's faultless. It's the best, friends. And true liberty is, as Brother Branham said, true liberty is living as we ought to with God's word. That's true liberty. Not as making yourself do it. Yeah. He said, but whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. I hope you can never forget what you're hearing today. Never. But a doer of the work. And the work I'm going to tell you about today. And this evening. Because I'll never get to it today. But a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Oh my. Now I want you to remember something else. Jesus said, remember when he's talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, of course, he was talking to Nicodemus about the new birth. We read it last week, the scripture. And Nicodemus, after Jesus said, you must be born again. Of course, Nicodemus was thinking, how must I enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born again? How can this be, Jesus? How can this be, Lord? Of course, Jesus further explained it by him about it. But as the prophet said, do you realize being born again? Now listen. He said that was the first and most important doctrine Jesus ever had. And if you read all the way through, you'll see it. The most important doctrine that he had. Yes. How true that is. Should it be of less importance today? Definitely not, friends. Not when we see the hour and time we live in and when we see so many people serving God is the old story. Christians is the old story. I believe the Bible is the old story. I've been a good person all my life is the story. What happens when they line up with that scripture? So now to make this a little more important, and that's the only reason I'm going to read these things for this time, but I have to read them for a reason. So those of us maybe a little more further along, and some, and this, that, and the other, just bear with me, okay? I'll read first Genesis 2, 16, 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Let me ask you a quick question. If you've read the Bible at all, or those that even have read the Bible and everything, didn't God back that up? He sure did. He didn't lie about it. He didn't joke about it, because we have so much joking going on today. He didn't joke about it. He didn't kid about it. Yeah. And that's another thing, friends, that gets under my skin, is a preacher get up behind a pulpit and start telling a bunch of jokes. That's about the sickest thing I've ever seen in my life. To dishonor and disrespect God's word like that. You see. Let's just continue over a little bit. After what had taken place, Genesis 3, begin the first verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now again, at this time, it was not no snake. It was a man-like beast. Looked just like a man. Very good-looking man. Now the serpent was very subtle, more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said. So they knew. God's word told them, right? Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, now see, this is a serpent giving Eve the message, you know. All right? But they'd already been given the message, don't partake of this serpent. Stay away from it. Okay? And the woman said unto the serpent, because here the serpent was, you know, getting her wound up for something. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So Eve knew what was going on. She understood. And the serpent said unto the woman, see, the woman set him straight. Now this is the way it's got to be. I can't touch you. Okay? I can't touch you. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Oh, don't that smell? Sound like a real smart sneaker there. The old serpent there. Of course, the old devil using that flesh. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So now here he is, no clothes on either one of them, and he's trying to get this woman enticed to where she'll have this act with him. Okay. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, in other words, to eat, he's not talking about a pork chop or an apple or an apricot. Food is something to eat to partake of. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Same as a man looks upon a naked woman today. You know? In the carnal flesh, one without the new birth and something not control it. He looks at one in lust, commits adultery with her already in his heart. Yeah. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Wow, this is interesting. She took of the fruit thereof. Making contact now with his flesh. And did eat. In other words, partake. Not chewing it with her mouth. Eat in Hebrew is partake. Okay? And gave also unto her husband with her. So now after she had this act with the serpent, it was so good to her. So now she goes to Adam and thought, well, let's have this act with Adam. This is fun. And he did eat, in other words, partake. And the eyes of them both were open. Now they realized, they was condemned. They felt dirty. Because God done told them, no. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Yeah. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They knew God was coming by here for too long. Yeah. Check up on them. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They felt so dirty, so bad, because they was not supposed to do this. Now they're trying to cover their privates. They're trying to keep from being naked before the Lord. Yeah. So silly to think it was an apple Eve ate. Such nonsense. Look what man has done. They can't even read scripture and understand it. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? As he's walking through the garden. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Oh. Because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? He already knew. But he's making him confess it. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now look at the word that God left in his holy Bible. It tells us what to do and not to do. And we think, and we got this attitude, I know it seems kind of a little strange to kind of slip us in here, but I got a reason for it. But we got this attitude, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do this. The Bible says plainly not to do this or not to do that. I don't have to do this. I'm going to tell you what, you'll die if you're not already dead. Where have I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Yeah. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. Now, he's a little serpent crawling on the ground now. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You're going to rub your belly in that dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Yeah. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Look at the women today that can't even get that. Their husband's supposed to rule over her. It didn't change. No. He's supposed to be the ruler, not her. She's not the one supposed to wear the pants. As the old saying is, he wears the pants. He does the control. You see? He's the one who makes the decisions. Okay? Not that he's a dictator. I better throw that in. Because he loves her. And they talk things out, and he knows what's best, though. He's the head of the house. He's the one supposed to be in the Word and knows what to do. He shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. So these men that think they can just go out and live on welfare all their life and be healthy enough to work, they got a problem. Because the scripture tells them, you will work by the sweat of your face. Yes, your labor. You see? Till thou return into the ground. God kept his word, didn't he? They disobeyed, they die. Yeah. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So we realize that, again, God kept his word. Let me read the next one, because you'll find it's got to be every word God tells us, not throw out any of it. Genesis, the New Testament, in the middle of it where it first begins, and the very end of the New Testament. So it's in the beginning, middle, and the end of the Bible. Okay? Just so when that attitude pops up that I don't have to do this, if you're a son of God, God will change that desire. Amen. Yeah. He can make you what you never thought you ever would be. Yeah. If you're his. Okay? Luke 4 chapter, begin the first verse. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. Oh, here was Jesus, the height of hunger, you know, and fasting 40 days. And now, and he could have turned those stones into bread and ate it. He turned the water into wine. Done many greater things than that, you see. So it wasn't no problem for him. But yet that was not God's will, you see. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man, that's you and I, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word. Have we got that right to throw it out? Toss it aside? Nope. It ain't changed. It's the same. I've even seen preachers, friend, where they thought they didn't have to live it. They got so high and mighty within themselves and got themselves so puffed up within themselves, they didn't think they had to live by the word. Yeah. And get up behind a pulpit and just preach that word and just preach that word, and it goes out there to live it, and it's not there. I've seen it with my own eyes, friends. Yeah. So puffed up, so big in themselves. And the scripture tells us, when you begin to think yourself to be something, when you're nothing, you've done deceived yourself. That goes for preachers too, you see. Revelation 22:18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, these words he's already written, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You don't play with God's word and just throw it out anytime you want to. No. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now think of that, friends. Think of that. Now, maybe with your own lips you might still sit there and say, I believe the Bible. Well, how come when so many times in the Bible it tells us exactly what we should be, what we should do, our conduct, and all these things, and all of a sudden, life is at its greatest grand opportunity to express the Word of God, we don't live it. It's not there. We're too busy talking about somebody else. We're too busy getting other people's business. We're always always upset about something. We're always nervous and shook up. And we're always fussing with the wife, or wife fussing with the husband, and the husband getting mad, and all this crazy stuff going on. Come to church, walk in humble. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Hogwash. Hogwash. You're a hypocrite. Sometimes people sit back, and as I said, even maybe sinners look back and they look at people that profess to be these Christians and nice people and supposed to be Bible believers and all this stuff, and they see people constantly doing those things. That's one of the worst stumbling blocks that can ever come forth, friends. Yeah. And as I've said before, do you realize how long it takes? When you're in that standing of claiming to be a Christian, a believer, nicey-nicey person, and then you fail, and it might be an honest mistake. Maybe you got trapped into something. Do you realize how long it takes, I'll say sinners, because a true believer with the new birth is forgiving. But a sinner comes along and sees those things, you realize how long it may take years for them to ever even think that you're not a liar, that you're not a hypocrite. One honest mistake, one time of failing God's word, one time your temper flying off after all them years of saying you're a believer. Look how long it's going to take for people to even think about you being a believer, a Christian. They're going to think about you, you hypocrite. Yeah. Just a few words of wisdom. It takes a long time, friends. people think they can do whatever they want to do. They think they can take all their time at overcoming something. When you think that way, you are not born again, friends. You don't have it. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You need a new birth. Yeah. Now let me read this, and then I'll close here in just a few minutes. Like I say, because if you're interested, you may not be. But if you're interested, you can come back, Lord willing, this evening. And if I've got a voice, and if it's His will, I'll continue on with this. But just set you up again now. Think what our Lord Jesus said. All right? St. John 3:7. We read last Sunday. Marvel not that I say unto thee, marvel is to wonder. Speculate. Are you still wondering why I'm preaching on it again today? Does it make you wonder? But Jesus told Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. So simple, so straight, no crookedness about it, no joking about it, no fuss about it. Ye must. You have to be. Not just think in your head you are. You have to be. Because you're fussing about it, joking about it, and thinking in your head that you are, maybe done deceived your own self, ain't going to get it. Because you know why? You'll say it with these lips, and your life has got to prove opposite. That's the way God set it up. You ain't going to put it on. You ain't going to make it happen. You ain't going to try to get it to happen. Only one way, friends, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. That man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You'll be able to receive every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It'll express to you. Yes, I know it's so confusing for some sinners to see things that goes on today. It's got to be, friends, especially if you don't understand. It's got to be so confusing to see maybe people that you've known all your life practically, and still, just little things sets them off, and they do things that's wrong. Yeah. Not that we won't never make mistakes. We will probably make mistakes till Jesus comes, the prophet said. But the thing is, you're an overcomer. Then that matches the other scriptures about being an overcomer, you see. But when the overcoming don't take place, and you're doing the same things you'd done years ago, got that same old problem. Something's wrong, friends. Something's wrong. Because the new birth of what the new birth is, it doesn't match up with our life story. That's what happens so many times. And in closing, that's what I think about, friends, when I see, and as it seemed like the last few weeks, it came to my attention, as to say, I guess. Especially see men that had just, I mean, brought that word of just as best you could know that could be brought. And I mean, just stay right on it. No false creeds, no ideas and everything. And then as soon as he's dead and gone, the people just, they come up with all kinds of craziness now. That's a scary thing, friends. That's a real scary thing. Well, don't let it bother you, Brother Steve. Why shouldn't I? When right now, I see people, I live around people. I associate with people. They would put their hand on that Bible and say, I know I'm born again. And you know God's word is fully faced them right in front and tell them right in their face they don't have it. Why shouldn't I worry? Because I know it's the last chance, friend. You ain't got no other chance after this life. You ain't going to die and say, oh, when I die, I'm going to be this good person. Now I'm going to get the new birth because I died. As the prophet said, what you are here is what you'd be there. If you're a doubter of God's word now, you'd be a doubter of God's word there. If you was a hothead here, you'd be a hothead there. Said, don't worry, you won't be there.
Right.
And the scripture plainly shows us that. People think the change is going to come after I die. The change is going to happen now while you're here. You see, I better be careful. No, it's feeling pretty good right now. Maybe we'll go another hour before it does give up. And I hope it won't give up. By God's grace, it won't. Believe me, I've done a lot of praying this morning to be able to make it through today. Amen. I said, Lord, I'm trusting you because I can't do this. I know just even yesterday I couldn't do it. So I even told the Lord this morning, I said, you want to do a miracle because I ain't going to be able to do it. But I just felt that inspiration hit me this morning. I said, I'm going to get through this. I know to Grace it didn't sound like it this morning. She goes, oh, Dad. Oof. I said, okay, I'll make it. Amen. Just got to get the flu cleared out. Amen. But saints, listen to the word now. Okay? Pay attention to what I've said so far this morning. And I trust that if, who's ever with me today and listening to this and so forth, it'll be something on the inside of your heart saying, I want to hear more. I want to hear more. And I'll assure you, I'm not the best person to give up, friends. By no means. I wish so many times I could do a lot better, but I can't. It's just the best of my ability. But I just pray God will help you on that end, that God will take over where I can't do it, because I can't do it. I mean, I'm so unlearned and so uneducated. I barely made it through school. Honestly, I'm telling you, and I was a bad boy then. I was for the change. And of course, back then we had real grade cards, you know, where it was wrote in. And I'd take the grade card before I got home. I couldn't do it during the year. But boy, the last semester of going home with that new grade, or that old grade card, I could change things on that last grading period. Oh, yeah. I'd make MFs look just like a B. I'd get same color ink and everything. I wasn't a good boy then. But I'd never do that now. But I was a bad boy then. I used to take, and we had boys in our school that was sissies. Never could stand a sissy. I thought, I'm going to fix this sissy. He even had carpet on his seat. I thought, well, I'll fix him. I snuck in there during lunch period. Nobody was in the room. And I took straight pins with me, and I put three or four right through that carpet. He goes in there and sits down, and after come in for lunch, and sits down, like that, and bloody spots all over his hind end. Teacher looking around, who done this? I just, what are you talking about? You know? I think back what I used to be, friends. I thank God for his mercy and grace. Thank God for his mercy and grace. I've seen the path I was heading on. And if it wasn't God rich in mercy, friends, I'd have still been on that path. But I pray to God he'll open up the path for you and give you that straight and narrow way, friends, that you can walk with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not proud of those things by no means. But some people look at me today and they think, oh, you always was good. No, I wasn't always good, friends. He changed my heart just like he can change yours. Hallelujah. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Why don't you come up to the instrument, please, sister. Amen. Hope so far it's been something to help you along the way. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Oh, my. Let's sing a little chorus here. I want to sing this little chorus that's in this little book here. It's page 10. And isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? It is so wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Oh, wonderful it is to me. Think about it now. Boundless as the universe around me. Hallelujah. Reaching to the farthest soul away. Saving, keeping love, it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yes, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. And if he isn't wonderful to you, I hope before this day is over with, he'll be wonderful to you. Amen. Let us all stand. Amen. With our heads bowed. Precious Heavenly Father, again, we are so appreciative in our hearts that you've given your grace to us this day to gather around your word, Lord, and be able to read these precious words of life. I'm just asking again, Lord, that you would get down in each and every heart that, Lord, where we fail as a servant to help your people, maybe say the right things, Lord, you by your Holy Spirit will place it in our heart in the order it needs to be. Bless them now, Father, and bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry, and help us, Lord, to continue on with the Word of God. And Lord, may it stir our hearts as our desire. In your most precious name we ask. Best be with us as we part from here, Lord, as we've gathered in this little building. Watch over us, keep us safe upon the highways also, Lord. And again, we'll give you the praise and glory for it all. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. May God bless you all. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me.